Okay, we continue in Shara Yichud, Daf Ayin Vov, middle of Stan Perek. But Tzorich Shetovin also Yefnen Esemen Emidoy Se'ele. From all these characteristics, Shehen Loitzi Chayevnu Le'etzu Kvar Aboyer Yushinu B'chiluf. All these midos does not require and does not no way, in any way, force any kind of an adoption or change to the actual HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't mean that it gives a certain, it makes a certain change in the essence of Hashem. Achin Yonam, the middos is not to characterize the object, Hashem, rather, laharchik zulosam emenius ala, but rather, nobody else has this mida. In other words, when I say on a person that this person is the biggest balus chesed in the world, so the word chesed I apply to the person. This person is the biggest balus chesed. But any middle which I will apply to Hashem, Hashem's chesed is non-matchable. The meaning was not to say Hashem's chesed. Hashem Baal Chesed, because you have to know nothing could be applied to Hashem. Rather, the meaning was to say there's nobody has such a Chesed as Hashem. But doesn't mean even, but in a sense, the Midah which you attribute to Hashem is to say nobody else has this Midah. But not Hashem is the one of this Midah, because Hashem is above Midah. Hashem is even above the word Chesed.
Does that mean like you can't limit Hashem, like, in other words, to say as if to say that if he's the greatest al chesed, that means he cannot do anything but chesed.
Then you're limiting Hashem.
Right.
In other words, once we, as the Rambam says in the Animam, you have to know Hashem, nothing could be adapted to Hashem, nothing could be attached to Hashem, nothing could be verbalized to Hashem, because you have to know all these middles and all these things only come into to existence because there is a world. All the middles, even the middles which we spoke yesterday, the day before yesterday, the three middles, which is the essence of Hashem, which is Motzu, he exists in one, he's one, and his Kadmoy, which is applying to Hashem, even those middles could only be verbalized only because there is a world. If there wouldn't be a world, you couldn't even say the word Motzu existent, because what is being existent? There's no such a thing as non-existent that you have to emphasize existence. The world made it possible. The existence of the world made it. It forced us to say that Hashem exists is not like the existence of the world, because the existence of the world is temporary, Hashem is the ultimate existence. Hashem is one in opposing everything else which is not one. Hashem is Kadmon in opposing everything which is not, but there must be somebody else. Now the minute when you apply these middles only based because there is a world, is already a discreditation on Hashem, because Hashem he can't apply anything to Hashem which is based on this world. The world is nothing. So you make sure every middle which we apply to Hashem is not to be say that this middle is Hashem and Hashem is enforced in this middle and Hashem is this middle and this middle binds Hashem because this is Him. It's rather we use the term Hashem's middle. This Hashem's middle where nobody else has such a middle, but Hashem even is above this middle, even is above the middle. That it's a borrowed name. Even under Hashem Motzui, who should say, who is the one who says Hashem is existing? We no. So is Hashem existence bind to us? We only use it in our terms, since we are non-existence. We know that we will be non-existence. We know that we are not one. We know that we are not Kadmon. Hashem opposite us is, it's a borrowed thing. That it says, Achin Yonan, all the meaning of the spirit is, Laharchik Ziloson, to alienate anything else from Menesal. V'ho'id al-dateinim v'sechleinim min Yonan, and what it comes up in our mind, Kiboira Oila Misala the Kurish Bohu, Loy Misraba. It does not multiply. Beloy Neder is never given eliminated. Loy Mechudash is not renewal. The Khensurich Shetah himself is unchangeable. The Khensurich also Shetah Shinoki call Achas Meila Midas Asholish Asuchana. Also, every one of these three Midas which you mentioned there, which is Motsu, Echot, Kadmon. Machayeve Shirison Kashes Boyne Ben Yonem. Machayeves. Every one of the three requires the other two into be existence. In other words, we said there's three midas which is applying to Hashem himself. Motzui, existence, Echad is one, and Kabbalah is also, he always was. Says everyone, if you say Motzui, automatically requires that he has to be Echad in Kadma. If you say Kadma, automatically has to be Echad in Motzui. Every one of the midas requires the other to be. Bir Zemis. Ke Echad Emes. When we want to give to Hashem this midah that he's the absolute one. Obviously, he cannot be absolute one, the ultimate one. He must be also nimtza, he must be kablan. Because anything which could be eliminated, anything which could be eliminated is not a part of the motzui, cannot be counted in one and not in multiples. So if he said he's absolutely one, the absolute one, the one amity, as we explained to Lent in the past, incorporates himself ever existence and total existence. If there is a fraction of something which is none of him, then it's missing in the Echad. So the minute you say Hashem is the ultimate one, automatically means there's absolute motzui, absolute existence, and absolute ever existence, kadmai. So every one of the middle is automatically incorporated in the other two middles. Because she has l'shum diver inyan Echad emes v'skayim loy, and it's just like it's appropriate that is called him. Dinu sheyes l'shem etzias v'inyana. We have to call him also motzui. V'chein inyan kadmus. We also have to know that he was ever, because the absolute one can never be put into existence, never could be eliminated, so must be always had to be. V'lishtalik could never be changed, v'lishtalik could not be exchanged. Im kenu kadmus, obviously it means he ever was, kim sheyelot kilo, he's no beginning. Emishi is kadmus inyan achdus amitis. And everyone that has been accomplished, that we know that he's absolute one, is echad. By the skamlo inyan amtzius v'kadmus, also we know that he's more than kadmus. The chenam atzilu sekimidus amtzius atzmidus. If you will give him the middle, that is absolute, always existence. Kishin oisel adov. It's teyesle ima. Automatically, it's appropriate. Midas echad. He must be absolute one. Midas kadmus. He's taking every one with interchangeable other two. Ach ma sheroy lo midas echad. This is the prophet could walk to say is one, because anything which is always in existence, there should be somebody else outside of it. Obviously, it's simple. But one other thing we could see, the essence fact is we call them three middos, but one is incorporated, everyone is inclusive of the other two. It's ready. I'm going to give a very deep thought, and I'm not going to elaborate too long. So take it how much you go along with me. He said, we started off this morning, but he says, even the middos which we apply to the Etzem of Hashem, which is the three, Motzui, Kadmon, Echad, even these are not a middle applied to Hashem as per se Hashem. It's a middle which is non-existent by somebody else, but it's not applicable to Hashem. So one of the reasons which you mentioned before was one. Now the second reason is why. Because the three midos which you apply to the Etzem of Hashem, every one of them is built of the other two. So the midah is a combination of three. And anything which is a combination, anything which has to be proven, and the proof is laying on the burden of a combination of other two, that means he requires, depending on the other two, immediately cannot be the essence of the Hashem. Because Hashem is totally independent, there's no combination needed at all. So I could have said a midah of Echad is Echad Amiti. It is not required to be depending on Motzui and Kadmoin. So then I could have a half a midah that Echad is Hashem Echad. Hashem in essence, apply the midah to Hashem. But immediately, in order to give this Echad Amiti applied to Hashem, the Echad has to be incorporated depending on Motzui and Kadmoin. Then obviously, this is not the ultimate midah of Hashem. Hashem is above that. How do we call it the midah of Etzem of Hashem vis-a-vis us? It says, when we say Hashem Chesed, Hashem Tov, it's a midah vis-a-vis us. We have Tov, we have Chesed. And Hashem is the most Chesed, Hashem is the most Tov. None of us Tov, none of us good is as good as Hashem. None of us kind is kindness of Hashem. So the midah is a midah which applies totally to, and is also kind to us, is good to us. But when we say Hashem is Echad, it's not we are one, but Hashem's oneness is different and is only one to us. It means Hashem is absolute one. It's essence of Hashem, but not the ultimate essence of Hashem, because in order to be Echad, you have to be incorporate Motzui and Kadmon. And since it needs, the middle needs incorporation of other two, and that's what we spoke many times in the beginning, that Hashem's being does not tolerate a dependency on any kind of a combination, because then it's not echod amiti. So that's one of the reasons why he implies that you should never attribute any mirror to the absoluteness of Hashem. The mirror is only, it's an absolute thing which is only applicable as a borrowed word vis-a-vis Hashem, which is not even applicable to us at all, where kindness and goodness, the other mirrors, is applicable in opposite us. Where chesed, but the motzer kind is not applied to us, opposite of us at all, not. Yes.
Kadmon, the term kadmon doesn't mean just that he was before anything. It means
the ever boss. Hashem is not bindable in any form. Now, again, in order to clarify it, I just want to bring the proper Moshe. When I would say that this tape recorder is the only one tape recorder in the world, there's only one put into existence, only one. To who did I apply the one? To the tape recorder. Only to the one. Now, if I apply the middle of one to this tape recorder, obviously the tape recorder is required to remain one as long as I want to call him one. He's forced to stay one. Because the minute when you make another one, he loses the name of one. And that's only an object. You could only apply the word one to an object, to a creature, because the creature could afford to be forced to something. So if I, as long as I want to keep the tape recorder one, I cannot make two. I can't say the same thing on Hashem. Also, Hashem is the ultimate one. But I can't say that Hashem is the ultimate one because Hashem is one, because then you're forcing him to be one. And Hashem is not forcible. If that hypothetical stupidity which I'm saying, Hashem should decide to be two himself.
He could do it.
It's not tied because we call them ultimate one, and he must be ultimate. Hashem cannot, there's not such thing, he must be. So therefore that's the Chavis says, no midah speaks about Hashem. The midah speaks vis-a-vis us. As far as we are concerned, because we, the way we see that in the whole creature, there's no such a thing ultimate one as Hashem. So the whole, if we say Hashem is Echad, we, vis-a-vis us, we call him Hashem Echad. But doesn't mean this is the essence that this forces Hashem to be whatever he is, because there's nothing in the world which forces Hashem to be whatever he is. Hashem is totally, totally independent and removed from anything which we apply, which we talk. No matter to what extent it's true. It's true because in our terminology, this is what we could talk about. Now, what does it mean to say that since everything which we apply to Hashem is in our terminology, and since our terminology changes, when you're in the body, you're different than you're going to be in the soul. When you're in the soul, it's different if you're in the Gan Eden or the Gehenna. And if you're different after the Moshe HaMashiach, or different after Bchias HaMeisim, different after Yom Shikula Shabbos, which is in the 7,000th year, and you were different once you're going to be over Yom Shikula Shabbos. You're going to be in Netzach, Netzach, Netzach. The terminology of our comprehension changes. So therefore, we could expect Gvaldige Chidushim in the perceiveness, in perceiving Hashem, in this Echad, in these things, Gvaldige Chidushim. And this is actually our everlasting existence. What does it mean we exist forever? We're going to be both. We're going to be not. And the Balatani says a beautiful, deep thought. It says, what is the greatest pleasure of a tzaddik, of a real tzaddik? To be both. To be non-existent. To be, go back to Hashem. Where do you come from? You come from Hashem. Your soul comes chelak elakai memal mamash. You come from a kodesh baruch hu mamash. What is the ultimate goal of accomplishment? To go back where you come from. Just like a candle who jumps back to the flame where he was taken off. And we know, you take a candle, put him close to a flame, he will be extinguished. The flame wouldn't get greater, wouldn't be bigger. The flame will not, you take a big flame, you bring 100 candles, bring him close, you're going to jump into the flame, the candle is going to get extinguished, and the flame will not be noticed at all. Same thing, why? Because fire is this spiritual meaning that it comes from there and doesn't take up any space. It goes back to its makor, goes back to its root, and in space-wise it doesn't get greater, doesn't get even hotter, nothing. We all come from Hashem. Our ultimate goal is to go back to Hashem. And Hashem is not going to be changed. He hasn't been changed when he took away, just like the flame. No matter how much candles you took off, the flame remained the same. No matter how much candles you bring back, the flame remains the same. The difference only remains in the candle. When you took it off, the candle burns independently. When you give it back, it's extinguished. But the flame is unchanged. Hashem is unchanged. Unchanged. It's Echad before the world, and after the world, and after the world. It's always Hashem. Hashem Echad Motzi. It's not depending at all. We the candles have been these changes. All of a sudden, I got a light of Hashem. I got an Esh of Hashem. I got a Lokus. So the change took place in the candle. Now, since it comes from Hashem, all of I want to go back to Hashem. The minute I go back to Hashem, did I change then in Hashem? Hashem was not changed when I was taken away from him. Hashem is unchanged when I'm giving back. So there's nothing but to perceive in Hashem, because in Hashem there's no shinui. Wherever there's no shinui, there's no perceiveness. You could only see things when there's changes. When nothing is changed, you don't see anything. So obviously, the effect of enjoyment and pleasure depends on the one who does have shinui, on us. Now, comes the question, as the Balatanya, when we go back, when finally we get what we want, when a real tzaddik what he wants, all he wants, shift to Hashem, to get close to Hashem, go back to Hashem. I want to be non-existent. I want to be bottled by tachlus abitul, nullified with tachlus nullification, go back to Hashem like non-existence. So what is the greatest reward which you could give to the tzaddik? Give him what he wants. So he gave him what he wants. He came back to Hashem. There's no more Hashem. There's nothing there. It's back to the flame. So where's the reward after? He cannot be rewarded. He's non-existence. He's back in Hashem. And Hashem is one as he always was. Hashem is unchangeable. So where is the reward of us, of the tzaddikim, who go back totally, absolute to Hashem, and we say we're being rewarded forever, and Netzach Netzach will be exist forever. If the ultimate goal is the non-existence, so how could non-existence be rewarded if he's non-existent?
That is the reward.
Oh, you could say that is the reward, but after that, so you must say after the reward has been accomplished, there's an ongoing reward. There's nothing. You don't enjoy this reward and ongoing because there's nothing. Who feels it? You could say a minute before I get nothing, I enjoy. Ah, Baruch Hashem, not going to become nothing. But then you became nothing. You finish. See, the reward finishes. You could say the reward exists forever because you remain nothing. Back to Hashem. That's you being promised. Even Hashem should create all the world. You don't come down. You stay with Hashem forever. Okay? It's a good reward. Let's say it's a good reward. Fine. But you don't enjoy it when you're nothing, because nothing, there's nobody who should enjoy. And that's the Balatanya addresses this question. So he answers. It's true that we're going to get nullified back to Hashem. We're going to be nothing. But there's going to be remaining a reshima. In the Loshna Kabbalah, mysticism is called every mitzias, every existence, the fact that it became an existence and it passes further, becomes non-existence, leaves a reshima behind him. How would you call a reshima in English?
Trace.
What? A trace. A marking. Every existence remains a mark. Now the mark is a non-existence, but the fact it was something like that is none. It's a very refined spiritual fact. It's not something which is tangible. It's not something which has a body to himself. A reshima it's called. It's called a reshima. In a very mild way, to bring a little example, which is no way, we can't bring you the full example. If you would say, if you were a child, and once you walked somewhere, and you saw something, and then you walked by, and it's longer raised of your mind, a reshima remains there. And somehow, some way, it could be awakened, even through hypnosia, somehow, it could come back, because nothing gets totally erased. That's one of the reasons why the Malach teaches, the Maral explains, why the Malach teaches every one of us before we were born to Torah, we know, call it Torah Kula, and then he takes it away. What's the point of teaching, taking away? Because if we wouldn't have the Rishima, we wouldn't have the impression of Torah and the entirety, we wouldn't have the trace of Torah, because once we possessed it, and then we took it away, we could never repossess, because it's not a fun object in this world for a body. For us, it's not fun at all. We get back once we had. I always use the example, if you buy a balloon to a child, that you should be able to blow it up. Now, a child with his weak lungs, he hasn't got the koyach to blow it up to the fullest capacity. So what do you do? First, the father blows it up, and then you let him collapse, and then you give it to him. Once it was blown up to the fullest capacity, it's easier the second time to fill it, because the reshima has been there. Now, even if it's totally collapsed, you don't see anything, but the reshima that once this was already blown up to its extent, is there. So everything that Kuzbacher created, and why there must be a reshima? It's a very, very deep thought. Since who put him into existence? Hashem. Who eliminated Hashem? Now, since Hashem put him into existence, could his existence ever get totally, totally erased? It means a product of Hashem should be totally eliminated. It's not applicable. Total elimination on Hashem's doing is not fitting. If Hashem did it, there couldn't be a total elimination. Hashem is a kol yochel, could also eliminate. So Hashem could make things, Hashem could eliminate things. But to say the making things would be totally, totally forgotten, no trace would be left, with the insult on Hashem's doing. If Hashem does it, there's no such a thing, it should be totally eliminated. But Hashem obviously could also totally eliminate too. So obviously both is the MS. Hashem creates, Hashem could eliminate, because Hashem is a kol yochel. But the fact Hashem created, there must be a shema that he created once and felt eliminated once. This is another tzaddik. So this who made a tzaddik to be an independent tzaddik? A detached part became a ken later Hashem nishma sodom. A time that he was separated from Hashem. Hashem made him. So that became a metzias. And it says, I could be a candle, I could be removed, and Hashem is there, and it's my choice to get close to Hashem and not to get close to Hashem. That's the Bechira. How it works, I don't know. This is Hashem's secret. He could take a part of himself and give him, detach him, and say, come back to me, not to come back to me. To what extent coming back is your Bechira. This is something which I don't understand how he does. This is the secret of Bria. That's the secret of Bria. Now, obviously, if Hashem gave me the, made me and separated me, and he gave me the choice to come back, and you could come back to the point as you ever was, and I came back, that means the elimination of me. So Hashem made the mitzvahs of me, and he made the elimination of me. If I exercised the elimination of me and I came back, but I cannot tell, no way can I say that the ever and ever I was a mitzvah has been totally erased, because then the product of Hashem has been totally erased. And Hashem's product can, so that's the Rishima. There must be left a trace there was a mitzvah, and that mitzvah has been eliminated by its own choice. Because Hashem gave him the koyach, the ability to have the fear to be eliminated, come back wherever you came. That's the Rishima. Says the Balatanya. As through the tzaddik wants to be totally eliminated, wants to be totally bottled, go back to Hashem as he ever was before, and it's going to be given. This is the greatest reward. But the Rishima, the trace that once he existed and he was fortunate and merited to come back to non-existence, that will remain forever. And that remaining forever will be the one who enjoys the fact that I'm bottled. What will we enjoy forever, forever? That we always have this memory, if it could call it memory, we're always going to have this thing, the enjoyment of the fact that I once existed by being separated from Hashem, and Baruch Hashem, I came back to Hashem and I became again a non-existence, and we will enjoy the fact of non-existence forever. There's always going to be enjoyment of the fact of non-existence. Okay? Now, in order to enjoy, we know the cloud of this, what Ramchal says, the Tanuk Tmidi is not a Tanuk. Enjoyment is on enjoyment, it is a renewal. An ongoing enjoyment is starts to be enjoyment. All these chachas, they must be always a renewal. So obviously, since I use this motion of the Balatanya, that it's going to be a reshima, it's going to be a trace of our memory, that we wear, and we wear bottle, and that's going to be a tanuk to me, that we're going to always be rewarded every second, forever. Where is this chachas? I mean, we bottle it. When you bottle, when you zero, where are you renewing? As long as you're alive, every moment you get smarter. You get the body decays, the spiritual part gets stronger and stronger. So this is chachas, giving the everlasting reward. But when you're in the zero, you have a memory that you were not a zero, became yourself a zero. Fine, you got a memory forever. But where is this chachas? The answer is, since all this middles which you speak about Hashem is not Hashem per se, it's all vis-a-vis us. And the way we perceive it, obviously, the perceiving part, the understanding what Bittul means, what Hashem means, also grows endless, because Hashem is endless. When we say Hashem is Kavmon, Hashem is Echad Amit, it means endless, that limitlessness is also the perceiving of the Mitzvah that Avazamotu and Bottle and the Rishima, all those things has endless characteristics in himself. And therefore, every second of existence perceives a total new depth, unlimited new depth. It's unlimited growth, and it's something which you can't even imagine, because in our limited world such a thing doesn't exist. And you could say, as much you grow in this world, and you see every minute you get deeper and deeper, to that extent you're going to keep growing, ever the world comes further into existence. Yeah.
You said that a person is never erased, there's always a shima behind. I thought in Russia was completely eliminated.
So if he's completely eliminated, how will he be punished? Nebuchadnezzar is eliminated by now?
You're asking me? I don't know. That's what I thought.
No, so there's a thing. In the Olam HaNetzach, in the Olam of Eternity, when it's going to be Yom Shekul Shabbos, I mean, don't take me for the final word, because I'm not that very well versed in these things, and not that I'm interested so much, because I'm more interested which I have to know here. Okay, Rishoyim is being said. Rishon will not exist in those worlds. When in this terms we spoke, Rishim and Rishon are not there anymore. They're not there anymore. Their punishment goes till after Tchias HaMeisim. And after Tchias HaMeisim, using the word of the Gemara, and what it means, I don't know, they're going to become Ofar, they're going to become ash and dust, they're going to be Mefuzah, they're going to be spread Tachos Kapashel Tzadikim under the feet of the Tzadikim. Now what does it mean? This is the type of the Tikkun Fatik. What does it mean? I can't tell you. This is their final tikkun. And obviously this is their punishment that they are non-existent. Would they perceive every second their non-existent punishment? I know authority to say it, because I didn't see it in the Tanya. And if the Tanya only said this thing in the positive way, on the growth area, why should I be so bad and I should invent? This goes on the downside area. I don't know. You understand what I can't. I had not seen it to say that Rishon, just like a tzaddik has the unlimited growth, so has the Russia, the unlimited minus growth. I I didn't see it. Listen, I have no authority of saying it. This is very important. We should know to put down facts. We're never allowed on theory, because if it's theorizing in areas which is totally beyond us. If I have, I say in the jigsaw puzzle, if I have the piece, the tiny set, I quote it. And from these pieces, I could make a picture. But I can't add new pieces which I never saw. So since I never saw, I don't remember seeing, unless I see it in some authentic machaber, then you could use it as making a picture of that too. So Russia maybe is eliminated totally. He is eliminated, obviously. If I could say, is totally eliminated. But the elimination itself is a stikun. And he does further exist in the form of the tzaddik. Also in the form of a tzaddik, a very negative way, that the tzaddik has a kind of use, that the ashes is behind his feet. And if you need ashes behind the feet, then the use of the tzaddik is his tikkun. Okay.
Is it correct to say that the punishment of the rosh is seeing the joy that the tzaddik is experiencing and seeing what he's missing?
It is right, definitely it's right in the beginning stages. In the beginning stages, no question about it. He said that there's stories that Rashom is being brought down on Pischa Shel Gan Eden. Rashom being blessed into the Pischa Shel Gan Eden. Like I'm looking in the Gan Eden. I was just last night in the prison. And if you want to finish, take a guy who's serving a life sentence. It's no more a prison. The punishment is no more a punishment. He doesn't know any other world except this. He doesn't know any other world except what he has. We're also in a big prison. It's a prison. You don't consider yourself being in a prison. It's a big prison. It's a worse prison than the Green Haven prison. Because you don't even know you're in prison. So what's the difference? I told him, what's the difference between me and you? I'm in my prison, you're in prison. I make myself comfortable, you make yourself comfortable, you're here. Nothing. Baruch Hashem. But what makes it a big prison is little freedom, little visitation. Again, I come to visit. His wife comes twice a year to visit. Okay, and the television is being shown what the outside thought. That makes it a prison. The freedom gives them prison. Uh-huh. Given total elimination, it's no more prison. That's what we were in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was good for us. We have nothing. We only realize that in Eved, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and starts showing, oh, look at this. Then was Koisha Shibu. Then it became Mitzrayim. Then we Yonku. Then we started crying. We started telling Moshe, you made harder on us. When you didn't exist, we were fine. We were very comfortable. when we see the height, and this is very important, we have to learn this thing. When we start learning these things, we get in a visitation from above, where we really belong, then we start realizing what kind of shibud we are in prisons we are down here. Anyway, just to... there was yesterday a guy, very, you know, Sam Shamsun, a vicious fellow, a 60-year-old fellow, a very angry fellow, a guy, one of the guys there, prison. In the prison. And he made a lot of headway, thank God. He's davening every day, and now yesterday comes, he's going to start keeping 100% Shabbos, like he's making out. But there's a lot of anger in himself, he's a smart cookie. And I spoke yesterday and this year, and I'm just giving it to you because it's a good line. You deal with other people, you have to know how to answer. So I said, you know, the way the television corrupts children, showing everything, is so much violence. Then he speaks up, violence? So what is he teaching children Torah? I never saw a book with so much violence as the Torah. The Torah is one book of violence. One book of violence. There isn't the evil which the Torah does not expose to our little children. You teach them. You start learning immediately. Other kind kills several, brother kills a brother, and incest, and in Hishchis of Bosadako, the flood, and the mice of flood, with the Yehuda, with Tomer. It's a book of full of violence. What?
Okay.
So he was angry, so I said, listen, Sam. Why are you so angry at the Torah? Why do you think you get so angry at the book of violence? I told him, listen, Sam, you know who you are. You know who you are. Obviously, you're sitting here. Imagine looking into the mirror, and you see yourself in the mirror. You're getting angry at the mirror. You start cursing the guy in the mirror. You're not cursing the mirror. It's you. When you look in the Torah, and you get angry at the Torah, what are you getting at the Torah? It's you. The Torah is the X-ray. The Torah is the blueprint of a human being. And the Torah shows the world has been created, and it's all camouflage. Nobody knows the world. Nobody knows the person. So comes the blueprint, the Torah, and it makes the X-ray, and it says, listen, this is the world. A man is born, you envy, you jealous. You're only two guys in the world, you can't get together. One is killing the other. And you're capable of commit incense. And you're capable of destroy the world. Everything for your little ego. That's all. That's your mirror. There you're coming from. Don't be angry at the side of the mirror. And the side tells you the good part. And the side tells you what Kishchis Kol Bosadaka drew in the world. And the side tells you Avraham Avinu, a little child, comes from a Terach and comes from the world. And turns the whole world upside down and builds a Jewish nation. And look at the whole beauty. Moshe Rabbeinu is coming. And Baspara becomes a convert, becomes the mother of Moshe. It shows you all sides. This is what the world possesses. And when the Torah is finishing showing you the whole world and plus history in the future, in the first Beis Hamikdash, the second Beis Hamikdash, and all the things, first Tachacha, second Tachacha, in the end, when the Torah is finished, and the Torah says, hey, now look, you look at the whole Torah, I put everything in front of you. You know yourself, you know history, you know the world, you know the potential of the world. It's a chai v'samol, it's a toy v'ra. Everything is given over, b'chad to b'chaim. This is the blueprint. This is the beauty. The Torah, Hashem did not conceal to me anything. So yes, when a child comes into the world, you start learning Torah. You open up the Bible. You open up the Torah from the beginning. He says, this is what you are. This is what human being. This is what the world is. This is the bechira what you have. You could go from one extreme to the other extreme. So why do you anger the mirror? You have to give him thanks. Somebody, you know, if you've been put in front of me, I wish there would be an ex that could go in front of me, I could go underneath and scrutinize me, exactly tells me, here you have to work, here not perfect, here you're deceiving yourself, here it is. Would I be angry at him? Somebody with an ex would tell me, you have problems here and here, would I get mad at the ex? It's me. The Torah is you. You have Salam Alakim, the Torah is Alakus, and everything is Chokmas Hashem, everything is Torah. Hashem says, no, Hashem says the opposite. The television only does, it wakes in you, arouses in you the Yetzer Hara, and makes you a captive into the evilness. He asked me the question, so put Torah on the television. So put on the Torah on the television. Says if there would be only one TV station, it would be controlled by Yeshiva, yes. There would be only one broadcasting, and it would be controlled by Tamid Chachomim, and every channel which you open up is going to be educational Torah. Of course, television per se is nothing wrong. Who is behind? Who is using the television? What is being broadcast on the television? But I think that's the answer. It was a pressurized answer because guys are sitting there, and this guy is so violently. And then I told him that you should ask forgiveness. You don't speak so angry, and you have to speak up with more respect to the Torah. And the end of the sheet says, you know, Rabbi, I will very much entertain probably this Shabbos, and I'm going to start giving 100% Shabbos. I'm getting there. He got this answer. Definitely. Obviously, this is the truth. But obviously, you could see all this beautiful truth does not come up until the guy seriously, genuinely questions. Therefore, Sheira Diyavishan at Psachva, you have to make it, that's Pesach. You have to make your child ask. It's a very positive thing when you let people ask, which we, FFB world, the fruit people, haven't got this ability. We can't ask. There's a lot of apicorsis in a person, and he can't bring it up. He's even embarrassed even to crystallize his thoughts.
Why
doesn't it? Because we have been conditioned so not to think. Because it's accepted, and anything which is deeply, deeply accepted, I would ask a question. If your child comes and brings up to you a question, why can't I kill somebody? How would you look at him? Why can't I kill somebody? Why can't I kill somebody? Why is not the right to go, this guy is mine, I want to kill him. Why not? How would you look at him? So if you have in your mind such a question, would you be embarrassed to ask to somebody? Because for us to question Shabbos, to question Hashem, is worse than for an ordinary guy to question the validity of not to kill. It's very much ingrained, very much ingrained. Either the fact that hopefully you live in a world where this thing came into your system and you question it quietly and it gives you problems. I got a call 2 days ago, a guy with 5 children and nothing wrong with him, and the divorcing, the separating. Why? He has no money. He has no belief, and he can't cope. He's still religious, does everything, children go to his shivas and everything. The guy has no money, and I have to make an appointment just to put in a money. Now, if the guy would have asked questions when these things came into him, he would never get there. He would go to seminars and wouldn't. So therefore, it's a generation, beautiful today, last generation before Mashiach, is a generation that don't know to ask. They're captive. And the mitzvah is up shachla. Open up, let him ask. And that's about tshuva. That's your function when you meet a religious guy, not to ask your question, but bring him up in him. Bring him up. You shouldn't be embarrassed to ask, because once you get the answer to him is much stronger than the answer to about tshuva, because he has all the kelim to adapt himself. It's immediately sitting in his heart. The excitement in him, the answer is much greater than about tshuva. But Jew is still superficial, he still has to debate them, he doesn't have to debate, he's comfortable with it.
Okay, we continue. Shatir Shmaya, very cute. Daf Ein Zoyin. 5 lines from the bottom. Tzorich Shitov Eminin Abba, you have to understand, relating anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shein Kamoi Dabar, there's nothing like him. Mekol HaShem Tosafer Oysoi, anything which you're going to talk about him, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu, boy,
min amides. Anything which you're going to talk about it, maybe connecting yourself, because Baruch Tzoruch Shetovi Mehem, you have to know and understand the Richuk, that you have to stay at a distance. You just can't take it for granted, the talk, the names, just call them as you call them. Shekinek them in manner. You have to understand.
One of the things the Greeks, or maybe it was Aristotle, but I thought it was the whole idea of God is like always as dead and never. In other words, that, like you say, he put the world in existence and left. That's what I thought. That's what I thought Greek philosophy was.
It's being taught. This is just being still learned.
Oh yeah, in philosophy courses in college. That's about it. Sure, but they study that.
But did you learn also Jewish philosophy in the class?
I think so.
This becomes like a main philosophical thought. Well, to my mother, this is known also, I mean, you know.
What's her name?
Acha midos elokis apolios. What are the midos which we apply to the Kodesh Baruch Hu's behavioral pattern, the way he behaves with us. And the midos, those are the midos that are super bad, avoid his borach mitzapuros, which we talk about Kodesh Baruch Hu, the way he behaves. The efshe she started the sipura, and those midos could already be applied also in Ktsos Bria with some of his creatures. We were allowed and permitted that we should also be mentioned in this midos. Because we are forced to speak about the activities of Kodesh Baruch Hu, the aim to let us know, and establish his existence, so we have to borrow these words. Hashem is doing this, and he is getting angry, and he is forgiving, and he is kind, and he is good. Also, we know all these things is not applicable to Hashem. They only apply to his activities, but the activities is not the essence of him. And therefore, we are allowed Kedeshen Kabbalah Avedosa, because the more we understand about his activities, we are better accepting his servants, that we should serve him. We do use in this kind of middles in the Sefer Torah, we find many times Torah speaks in this language, and the Neviim, the Sishbuchos and Neviim Achasidim, in the Shbuchos, this section of Tilim David HaMelech, and our Shnei Drochim. And also this middles, Apolios, is also divided in two styles. Aderech Eichot one style is middles, the middles Shem Moiris and Musa Tzure Gashmi. There's such a hard middles, which actually is illustrating a certain materialistic Geshem picture. Kama Shomar Kusna Posse says, the Yivir Elohim is Odom, Kodesh Baruch Hu created a man, B'Tzalmoy, in his image, B'Tzalam Elohim Bora Ois, in the image of Hashem, he created him. And Posse says, B'Tzalam Elohim also is Odom, in the image of Kodesh Baruch Hu, he created a man. Now what does this mean? He gives a Kodesh Baruch Hu a certain image according to man. If I'm the Tzalam Elohim, then I could say, Avi Elohim must have a Tzalam. Because the Tzalam Elohim bore a Sa'odam. Also Sa'odam, he made me in his Tzalam, so look at me. And we said, sorry, Echzor Akaf, when you flesh, you look Hashem, you say Hashem. So you apply a certain meter, a certain mood, a certain formulation, a certain picture, a certain description. You're comparing a description of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to a description of a man, so Gashmi Zinger description. Or the Kodesh says, Al Pi Hashem. According to the mouth of Hashem, means according to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the mouth, obviously described the mouth of Hashem. Or Ani Hashem, Ani Yodai Notu Shemaim, my hand is stretched out to heaven. So everything is like the heaven, like the Statue of Liberty, like your hand stretched out to heaven. Kodesh Baruch Hu's hand is stretched out, Kodesh Baruch Hu has no hand, it's not stretched out to heaven, but Kodesh Baruch Hu's Baruch is all over, it must be stretched to heaven. But Ozne Hashem, the Pesuk says, the ears of Hashem, the Tachas Raglav underneath his feet, Zrei Hashem, the arm of Hashem, Asher Loi Noso Loshov Nafshi.
What
is that?
What is that?
Hashem
Nosso Shem. Have not taken my soul and made Nosso, maybe the Russian uses the Russian to pick up, to take.
Because Boch had not sweat. Hashem Nosso Shem Nafshi means that he, I did not, Hashem Nosso, this goes on a Kodesh Boch. Kodesh Boch said, Hashem Nosso Loshov Nafshi. I had not sweat falsely. Obviously, Kodesh Boch is swearing. Nafshi also that Milos Nefesh Kodesh Baruch Hu is the soul. Ve'ene Hashem, the eyes of Hashem, the Yomer Hashem, the Libo Hashem set to his heart. All these things is we mentioning here organs and all kinds of things, which is really in reality is no such a thing. The Yomer Hashem, the Eivir Magufi, and all kind of things which you see Kodesh Baruch Hu compared himself to any of these physical materialistic descriptions. This is one way where we borrow words and middles which we apply to Hashem. Sheni, the other type of midos, which is already attributes, midos shem moiris atznuos, which is already movements, ma'asim gashmim, in action, moshinema v'yorach Hashem, because what that smells. First we spoke about the nose, about our mouth, now we speak about smelling, talking, hearing. V'yorach Hashem, the ya, because what who saw, v'inochem, because what who, v'inochem, like he regretted, he's absolutely boy, became sad, yeret Hashem, Hashem came down, v'yiskar elokim, v'yishma Hashem, Yikatsky, Yoshen Adoinov, woke up from his sleep. Kushbach sleeps, he wakes up. Rabbim Kael, Masa Medabrim, many things from the people speak. However, El Shekadmenein, Zachan Vrocha, Beferoshim Kisa Koidesh, the Rishainim, who explained those psukim, Tirgi Milone Amin Azem in Amidois, they explained those type of Midois, a digdig boy, if you call them, Lavinim Derech Kovet. They tried to explain it as close as possible, to explain it, Bederech Kovet, Zakodesh Baruch Hu. The Yichzeh Hakol, and they actually related all these meanings El Kvoida Boyz Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kasha Tirgamu, as the Unkelus Satel, like the Unkelus Satargam says, if this is a Mefarash, imagine it was 1,000 years ago, it was in the times of Rashi, so he didn't have too many Mefarshim before. His Mefarshim was Targim Yonis and Targim Unkelus and the Gemoras and Medroshim, that was his Mefarshim. He was the first Mefarash Emperor. So it says, it's a brinko, but the Targum says, Yina Hashem Nitzav Olav. Kuzbachu went to Avraham Avinu, Kuzbachu was standing above him. Says the Targum, V'yokoro da Hashem matad Eloi. The honor of Hashem was standing above him. Because it's below dignity to say Kuzbachu was standing above him. So said the honor of Hashem was standing above him. V'yar Hashem, the other person, V'yar Hashem saw, Y'gilei kodam Hashem. Hashem saw, Y'gilei kodam Hashem, it has been revealed from Hashem. V'yar Hashem, V'yizgolo y'koro da Hashem. It has been revealed the honor of Hashem. V'yar Me'olav Elohim. Kodesh Baruch Hu went above. It's talik malo yikore Hashem. Every time the Targum says Hashem says yikore Hashem, the covet of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because Kodesh Baruch Hu is not applied with this word. Hoitzis hakol derech hakovet. Everything has been explained derech hakovet. Yerchiko oisim aboy Yisborach. But the Targum was trying to take it away from direct applying it to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shelo yisigir shum akshom avlo shum mikra. In order it shouldn't happen coincidental, people should think any to materialize a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And not to tie Kodesh Baruch Hu to any incident like this is it. If we're headed up a very Indian as they are going to go to Ben Sadia, Ben Sadia was going to find a book of the Sefer Amunas. Was already explaining it to Sefer Amunas. The Peter said the Vereshis, the Peter said the Ve'era, the Sefer Itzira. Also, the Sefer Mashesh Bada, it was properly explained. The Shiloh is talking about the Farsh of Al Sefer Zeh, and I'm not going to repeat those explanations here in this Sefer. Kash and Askim will love Kilon. As we all are going to agree, Kap Chok, the requirement, we require, we have no choice, since we are human beings, and we have to understand as much as we can in order to serve him better. And the way to make them understand is to use our language. Therefore, we are forced to talk about him in the terms of our vocabulary. So we have to apply words and middles and actions and comparisons only in our language, but not even for 1 second to think that those are really applied to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have no choice. We have no choice. If I have to, just like when I make explain you something, to explain you the world and existence of Kodesh Baruch Hu, all the little things, it's a computer, obviously, doesn't mean it's a computer. It's only emotional. So we use all these terms as emotional. Kathok, only the requirement and the no choiceness, Hevionu Boraz Lahakshim Aboyris Borah. To be Megashim HaKodesh Baruch Hu, to materialize the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to suffer Oisoi, and to talk about him, the Midoi Sabruim, in the form and the description of the creatures. G'deir Shair Inyan, in order to be able to evaluate and to think, Shekai Mitzir Sabayis Baruch Hu Nefoshet, that should be able possible to relate and to make possible that people should believe and think and know HaKodesh Baruch Hu. And the books of the Nevi'im, the prophets, had actually spoke about the Kodesh Baruch Hu with the words of Gashmias. This is close to their understanding and to their. If they would have spoke about the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the terms in word which is only the spiritual words, in comparison, spiritual comparisons, they wouldn't understand what they're talking about. They wouldn't understand the words, and they wouldn't understand the Inyan. They try to tell us something so to understand about Hashem in order that you should know how to emulate Hashem. You have to know Hashem. You have to know Hashem. You have to know Hashem's behavior. Why? Because you have to know how to emulate him. Why do you go to Levaya? Why you go to a funeral? Because you're making chesed, it's a mess. I didn't know it's a chesed. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu also made a funeral. He buried Avraham Avinu. So obviously, why do you have to look at Bachu Beresh Davra Mazir? Do you have to emulate him? Like he buries Mason. Why do you go to a wedding with Smechos Mekala? Because Smechos Mekala is Mekala. So obviously, in order to teach us, you have to do this and this. You have to, because Hashem did it. But Hashem did it, he could only be explained in our childish way, the way we know it. So we says in the Magen, Kuzbach was very Moshe Rabbeinu, Kuzbach went to Meidon Abachav Meidachasin, he was a Sheshmun, says in the Medrash, he was the Unterfeirer, and he was a Sameach, and he was dancing in front of them, and made them happy. So obviously, you have no choice, you have to bring the story, you have to bring the story in our terms. Yeah. Obviously, in whatever Hashem commands you to do. Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu do it? Because it was misused, it was abused, and so on. So we know what not to do. Kodesh Baruch Hu went and made a pirut in the world against him, okay, because the Achus was misused for the wrong thing. So we have to learn not to be like the Zorah Flora. So, but obviously, you have to see if a Kodesh Baruch Hu goes and makes a miracle to dismantle unity in mankind because they made a Zorah Flora, because they built a thing. You have to learn, you have to understand what made Hashem to do this and this and this. What was wrong? You know, you shouldn't do. But obviously, it has to be told to you. How it happened to all about this? You have to do the 70 nations. This is what he says. Look what he says. It's not possible that you should serve, you should worship at things which you don't know. It's not possible you should serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu if you don't know a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You can't serve at things if you don't know that. Therefore, you have to use the words and in your name, the magic, the moshels, according to the ability of understanding of the one who listens. In order to comprehend it, a move of Amilas, a Gashmis, in order to understand it. And then, once they gave it to him with the Gashmis, the words, the Gashmis comparison, then we're starting to go into the sense of the deeper type of understanding, even the dagdik, we were going to the refined area, lavinoi, to make him understand Lodiya, to let him know. She calls that all these words and all this mosholim is only a derech hakir v'melitza sasefer. It's only a bring it close to your mind, but not really. She'inin amitu yoyser dakam u'nemeroyim, but the real stuff is much, much more sensitive and elevated to meroyim. Verochoik, it's much more disma, she'nuchanovin oyser atchunis dakas in yoyim. It's much more the rochek which you can understand. A masculine ilvok, the one, a masculine is the person, a masculine, the person who really puts his mind into one sentence, a nilvok. What's a nilvok? You know what the word a nilvok? How does he say it? What? A masculine, yes, excited. The excited masculine, the masculine is really out to understand. Ishtadel, he, like, now if you really want to understand this, you're the excited masculine, you want to understand? Ishtadel, you will try la hafshit. You're going to undress klipois hamilos, the dressing of these words, the physical gashmis, the limited dressing of milos, the gashmus and the materialistic ma'ala in yafanir. You take the message and throw away the words, and throw away the description. Description is nothing more than physical dressing to it, but throw it away. Take the insight, take the message. The labor machshavta, you bring it up, your intellect madrega and madrega, higher and higher, that it's going to be totally removed from any kind of Hagbolas, limitations. Achiegia, Namita Seinian and Nidra Shamash Yesh, because Chotar Sagan, till you're going to really come to the truthness of the message which they try to tell you, which as much as Yesh Bekoyach Chotar Sagan, as much you could reach, Tiyacholas and Tiyasoga. Baksil Rapesi, what the fool, Ksil, Apesi, the fool, the arrogant, who doesn't want to think. Yachshav avoyed as well, Chadera Chanina, when he look at Hashem, as he sees it literally on the Sefer. So Hashem has eyes, Hashem has feet, Hashem has this, Hashem has that. It takes it literally. Kishim kabel al atzma avoyed as elahav, and then he takes on himself to serve a Kodesh Baruch, and mishtar lasus lechvoyed, and really has to honor him, lechvoydoi, so yesh la tana gedoyle, therefore he will come out with great arguments, Hashem, you couldn't get to what you shouldn't suffer. If you could do everything, it talks to Hashem as Hashem would be a human being, and then you're stylus to Kodesh Baruch Hu, because you know you're a little bit. I'm 3 foot high. You're 1,000 feet high, but you have all the same features and all the same needs, because obviously you're talking the same terms. You know, if I would have been you, I would be a nicer God. I would have done things different way. So that creates tightness. Yes, it's all kind of, because he's a fool. He took it literally, all these explanations. Then that creates tightness against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But when it comes out, because of his stupidity, he creates tightness against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the truth of the matter is not going to be punished. The man is not going to be punished because a man, Kodesh Baruch Hu, is not tovea from a person, does not require a person only according to his ability of understanding. And if a person hasn't got depth and he didn't have the chance to understand it in the deeper means, and therefore Hashem was portrayed in such a physical limited way, Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot accuse him. And actually, this is actually a justification and even an encouragement that when we speak to our children, you could say, fine, now we know that the whole reason why we use this melitzas and mesholim, all these borrowed words and moshel, is only that later on we have to throw it off and we have to get the inside of it. It shouldn't chas v'shalom be megashma Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we should stop talking about God, about Hashem, to little children or to women, to simple people who have no capacity of depth. Why do we talk to them? We speak about Hashem, all kind of stories, and we shouldn't kid ourselves. A child is still... we are grown-up children, and Hashem is in heaven, like he lives in heaven, how does he look, and you talk about Hashem. So, if this is not the one that's borrowed, you take a moshul, and you have to understand the nimshul. But how many people understand the nimshul? When you come to the rise to the level, when you could throw away the moshul, that is the ultimate goal, to throw away the moshul, to stay with the nimshul. But do children remain with the moshul, with the nimshul at all? No, they remain with the moshul all their life, and most of the people, unfortunately, remain with the moshul. Always talk to Hashem the way it has been given to them as a child. And then, unfortunately, when you ask very intelligent people, did you believe in Hashem? He says, I doubt it. So why is he doubting? It's not the fault that he's doubting, because Hashem was always spoken in such a term, portrayed in such a term that doesn't make sense in the end to the logical person. And if it's never has been explained and brought him out as he grows, that the oldest thing was a moshul, but there's an nimshul, and you have to throw it away, he remains with the obvious moshul, and then doesn't make sense, and nobody explains the nimshul, then of course he doesn't believe in the moshul. You make him Hashem like a human being, you make him needing and wanting, and he's good, and he's mad, and he's getting angry, and he's... So actually, it should be maybe appropriate not to speak at all to children and to simple people about God and using the moshul, because you have this corner, this danger that you may remain with it. Because the truth of the matter is, you have to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu at all times. And therefore, you have to image as a Kodesh Baruch Hu to a certain extent. You know how to serve him. If you wouldn't relate at all Hashem, unless he's mature to understand the depth of it, he will be relieved from any kind of evil. He will not serve Hashem in any way. It's better that you should fool Hashem in a childish way. Better to portray a Kodesh Baruch Hu in a moshul as a man could comprehend, as a child. Understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu childish way, and then he serves the Kodesh Baruch Hu childish way, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu rewards the person according to his intention, and he to his intention serves Hashem fully, according to his ability, serves the Kodesh Baruch Hu fully. I make some mistakes and limits Hashem to certain, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not punishing for that, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu demands of a man as his capabilities come. If you could do more in the sophisticated world, you're very understandable in what comes to Hashem, you don't want to talk up, you don't want to learn about him, and you want to remain with the superficial level, that Kodesh Baruch Hu punishes you. Why didn't you? Therefore the Rambam says, "Sitzik of Tzorich Ha'odin, Lahov and Lahaskil is void of Yedias Hashem, Kefi Shiyodah Meseges," the Lashon Rambam. The man is required to think about Yedias Hashem as much as intellectual comprehension goes. And this, by the way, is one of the big mistakes which we do in our chinuch system, that we develop and we demand from our people, from our students, and from ourselves, we demand much more deeper intellectual research and understanding and thoroughness in any area than Yedias Hashem. Yedias Hashem, somehow we don't require from ourselves you have to be, if you know Chavi Sevu Shari Yichud already, that you're muscular, you're a philosopher, it's a bonus, so it's maybe not good, they would say. Absolutely no. You have to understand, because the whole reason that the Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed that you should be used and you should be spoken in such a human term is in order to know him to the maximum of your ability. In accordance with that, you're going to serve him. And Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm willing to forgive you the parts which you materializing me, because it's an absolute necessity to serve me. So even a childish way. But as you grow, obviously you require that the depth of the understanding has to grow with it. Because the more, as you grow a little, you're going to throw away more of this childish talk. And then you're going to get to the essence of me. And that's actually a requirement. I, meanwhile, you're still materializing me, I'm forgiving it to you. I want maximum of your devotion. But if you had the capacity of getting involved and to understand it deep, but you say, I don't need it, I don't need Shabbos, I'm a technical good Jew, I don't want it. You're not Yetzer, because then you remain with the childish attitude at the time when in other area you're not a child, you're very, very sophisticated. And therefore you could see it's absolute requirement, a chiyuv, to learn as much da sem kevicho. Da, you have to know Kodesh Baruch Hu as much as you can know both day in order to serve him. So you're a child, know Kodesh Baruch Hu in a childish term. You're going to serve him as a child. In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have to lead a person to know about Hashem, because it may lead to a danger, because the requirement is to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So therefore, the maximum the ability to know Hashem, you have to know in order to that you should serve him.
What about the Kasha?
That's the Tzar Shechina. That's the most beautiful. First of all, the whole musig of Tzar Shechina is not understood. What's the Kodesh Baruch Hu has Spain? Kodesh Baruch Hu has Spain, like again, he's materializing a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why do we have to use this term Tzar Shechina? Because I have to know, I have to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I have to service him, I have to take care of him. What if you care? If you sin, you created a Tzar for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu desires you not to sin. So obviously, in order that I should know in my avoidance Hashem, that I should be sensitive not to sin, and it's affecting a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we could only say it's affecting Kodesh Baruch Hu. Obviously it's affecting a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Every chet is affecting Kodesh Baruch Hu because Kodesh Baruch Hu says so. So I have to talk, how does it affect the Kodesh Baruch Hu? So at best, in my imagination, it's tar, it's discomfort, it's disappointed with me. All the Shem knew, and fine. But so that's the Tzar Shechina is a borrowed name in our terminology. What does this mean? Go against Hashem. Obviously, it affects Hashem. The message is affects Hashem. And now that you know this message, you know what avoid Hashem means, to make sure that we shouldn't cause tzar for Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if other people cause tzar for Kodesh Baruch Hu, try to relieve it, go to the other people, to be with Sakhna, Avraham Avinu went, and it taught Hashem for the whole world, there shouldn't be tzar Shechina. But obviously, would you ask me, is Kodesh Baruch Hu really a tzar? Obviously, no tzar. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not a body, Kodesh Baruch Hu can't have tzar. What does it mean to say? It means to say that you did affect the Kodesh Baruch Hu in a negative way, whatever the term is it means. But I'm throwing it out in a language of tzar. Now, what is the tzar of Hashem? The greatest tzar of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is if you don't recognize it. I say that the most beautiful way how to put it down, Kodesh Baruch Hu is playing hideout with us. Hideout with us. As you learned,
hide and seek.
Hide and seek, yeah. And Kodesh Baruch Hu hides. In everything there's a hidden Hashem. And our job is to discover it. Now, how would you feel if you play with your child, hide and seek? You play with him, okay? And it's and first you hide underneath the table. The child is only a year old, and you find me, okay? But as the child grows, you start hiding in more good places, more sensitive places. When child is very, very smart, extremely smart, then you really hide that even your wife sometimes can find you. So, you know, you go into the shelf of the book, you go behind the book, lay down flat, and cover the shelf underneath you. Okay, you really have to be, okay? So, what will happen if you're hiding there very discomfortable, laying there and sweating and breathing dust and everything, is because you want to see the child doesn't really look for you. So when you see such, so you look around, you see, you enjoy it. The guy looks. And then if he finds you, you lost, but you're really happy. You want to lose. You want the child to find you. Okay? That's Kunibona, but children won. He won the court. Although you lost, Hashem doesn't mind losing as long as you're fine. But what happens to the child? Starts looking, he gets mad, sits down, starts playing chess, couldn't get later. He gets angry, listen, I'm playing there for your sake, I'm hiding for you, you don't even care to find me. That's Tzar Shechina. Tzar Shechina is, Kodesh Baruch Hu goes for our benefit and hides. Now, obviously, you wouldn't hide in such a sensitive way for a little baby. Obviously, the father knows how to hide. Now, we in our time of today, we get sick and tired of looking for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The nisyanis are terrible, and you're so busy, you have so much problems, you have so much thick. And then you have to ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're hiding too much. And the hiddenness of Kodesh Baruch Hu is very, absolutely hidden. There is a Kodesh Baruch Hu in concentration camps in here, what's going on? And it's a whole mess, it's a big, messy world. And the world succeeds, goes forward, and Hashem is nowhere. Okay? So you get sick and tired, you stop looking for him. You do, you keep Shabbos, you do things, but leave me alone, you know. You have your Tzar Shechina. Kodesh Baruch Hu is hiding so sensitively because he knows that we are capable of finding him, and you gave up on him. You know, you looked a little bit, you did a little bit, you discovered him 10%, 20%, or 80%. He thought to let him go, and people could go through 8 years of life living through and raise children and they could know so much to give over, and they don't even bother to open up the Sforim and to talk about it and to learn about it, because Baruch Hu is hidden from it. I mean, yesterday night when we spoke, learned them out, there's a beautiful Yerushalmi, the beautiful Moshe. The Yerushalmi said, Kodesh Baruch Hu had put in his name, in our name, called Yisrael. Kisurisim Kel. Madhav Adam, what is compared to Melech, a king, which had a palace, has his castle, has his palace. And there's a door, and there's a mistake, the key, there's only one key which opens the entrance to this palace. But the key is very small, and the keys could be lost. The keys get lost. What if they should put a big keychain? Because Baruch Hu implied his name into our name, into the key, and now even the key gets lost, but the chain always pulls it back. The chain is tight. So the whole world is the Paltan and Shel Melech. So beautiful, the Maral explains it, he says Yerushalmi. The whole world is the palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now when we say the whole world, see, the difference is as follows. The palace is one big structure with many features, and the whole thing is one palace. As far as the world is the palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in every facet of the world is a whole palace. Everything is a part of, it means Hashem dwells in His palace. And every part of the world is a palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every part is a palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the palace is closed. The palace is closed. Now, in order to, you need a key. Who is the key who discovers the palace that this Lakodesh Baruch Hu living here? Am Yisrael. And every Jew is a key. And every spot is a palace. Less asal. Mloy kolo oretz kavoyde. The whole world is filled with the honor of Lakodesh Baruch Hu. Means the whole world and every being. This cup happened to be a palace of Lakodesh Baruch Hu, the dwelling place of Lakodesh Baruch Hu. But it's closed. You need a key to open it up. And Yisrael is the key. And just like as we spoke 2-3 days ago, just the infinity of Lakodesh Baruch Hu. In which used to be in the old age, used to go in the largeness, in the distance. Today, the infinity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be seen in the minute, small, in the atom of the world, and you could see it inwardly. So you could see every little spot, every little dust is a whole palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that must have a key. And who is the key? The Jew. So the key is very, very minute, very little. It gets lost because Machmas Me'utan, they are so minority between all the nations, between all the overwhelming happenings which is happening to a Jew, where 99% of the happenings which is happening to us is not directly related to Kodesh Baruch Hu and to Hashgokh of Itavoidus Hashem. And we have to know that the Becholder Chechu, the Yehu, you job is the Becholder Chechu, in every given spot, you have to know Hashem, that you have to open, you have to discover Hashem. So if at least 90% would apply to spirituality, so at least you know it does. But less than 10% has to do with spirituality. When it has to do with material mundane things, day to day things. If it is very dense, you get lost. Because Baruch Hu had applied his name in your name, the chain, and he could never get lost. So it comes to the Shalmi says beautiful, that we Jews, we are keys to the world. And what is the world? It's the palace of Hashem. And wherever you go, whatever you do the ease at this given spot to open up this concealment and to discover a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Like Hashem says, what good is a palace if there is no entrance? It's like a bulk of a trunk of a tree which you don't know what's going on inside. The world is like a trunk, like nothing, like a bull. Like a, how do you call that? Not a bull animal, bull ape. Like a trunk of wood, like a chunk of a cloth. How do you call a cloth? You know, you carve from wood, you could carve all kinds of things. You could make it hollow, you could make inside right. Things. But when things are still absolutely not touched, and it's all one piece of wood, it's called a trunk. A block. Yeah. So the whole world is a block of geshen, block of material. The whole world is a block of material. But it's not such a thing. There is no spot in the world which hasn't got a door to be opened. You open and see a lukus. Kodesh Baruch Hu is developing, it's a palace. And that door to open is Yisrael. Yisrael is the key. But it's so minute, it's so minority, and it's so sensitive that it must get lost up in Derech HaTeva. And the fact that it doesn't get lost, we still hear and do it, and we could talk in these terms, is a miracle. And what is the miracle? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu Shem, Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, is inscribed in our name, Yisrael. It's like the chain to the key. So no matter how much he gets lost and drowned between the sand of the Goyim, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a pull of the chain, and the key all of a sudden comes up. So Yisrael always is actually the key to the world, which lets us know the absolute truth. And this is, if he doesn't open the key, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is hiding in that block of the palace and inside, that's Sarah Shechina. That's Kodesh Baruch Hu is imprisoned. It's mamash, the word Kodesh Baruch Hu is imprisoned in this world because he's in the world. In a way that the world should be opened, the door should be opened, it should be discovered. And we are the one, we are the warden of this big prison. We have to open up. And if we don't open up, Kodesh Baruch Hu hides there, that we should open up, we the children should open up and discover him and bring him out into glory with the covered Hashem. And if I have to slither him, it's Tzara Shechina. So you could see that the word Tzara Shechina is nothing more than a moshel. It's not applied the word Tzara. But the Nimshel is beautiful. Yes, that's the whole purpose of creation. Kodesh Baruch Hu could have made no world. Kodesh Baruch Hu made a world that is always being shown, not to be like that, not to be key, not to be depending on us. But so now when we use this moshel Tzara Shechina with Mitzvah and this and Palace and so on and so, which is all materialistic Mosholim, of course we have to draw away the Gashmiz, the Klipper, the expressions as we use. We have to get the inner message that Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel is depending every second on us. And you could cause discomfort and go opposite of his whole goal, the way he created us. But I could say, why did Hashem do so? The company did it for our honor. This is a great thing he did for us, because of course he could have done it that he doesn't need us, and he could be totally independent from this revelation. He could reveal himself on his own. But Kodesh Baruch Hu gave honor to us that we children, we should reveal him, and we made us partners, that Yisrael, Sorisa Im El. And this is the Bechira. You want to ignore your responsibility and even on the expense to impose on me pain, or do you take the Bechira that you're going to do it and you're going to do me a favor, therefore I owe you something. And this is an honor to us. But if you understand it childishly, we complain about it. But why do you make it so difficult? But the more difficult it is, the more honor it is to us, that we have more share in this world. Therefore, it's important to know this Mesholim. Also, it may end up that you end up in the premature stage as a childish comprehension, but at least it makes you dedicated to avodas Hashem, ready to not to know and to wait until I could fully understand. And this, by the way, this is the exact foolish taina of many Torah people. It's not important to learn these things. These are deep things. These are high things. It's not important that you could make mistakes. You could get the wrong ideas. To learn a scholar to be a masculine Hasidus in Yiddishkeit, and you could get this. So the opposite of Chabad says, but so what do you do? Then you don't learn. Then you remain an Oved Hashem. Because if you don't understand these things in this, you can't be Oved Hashem. So you're not using the key altogether. It's true. You may lose the key, but at least know that you are key to every little thing. But even you lose the key, there's a chain. Don't worry, because Baruch Hu Gevurah pulls the chain, you get waken up. But if you don't even know that you're key to the thing, you don't have to get lost, but you're not active at all, you're not doing anything. The person is not being demanded, only according to the capability, that's what he's demanding. The fool. If it's possible for him to learn this chokhmah, he misalim imenu, and he doesn't learn, like the person is ignorant, he wants to stay ignorant, who nitva aleyo. If he could have learned, he didn't learn, then you're going to be claimed on it. Venenash, he will be punished, ashe kitzar, v'omad melilmad, because you shortened your ability to learn. If you could learn, he don't learn, you're going to be shortened. Therefore, in today's time, all these arguments, you see, in the old 200 years ago, they were even lamdim, and they were even tnimim, the tilim says. And it wasn't so required every tilim say have to become a lam, because we took the highest comprehension and capability of this man, we applied it to avodas Hashem. Today, there's no such a thing. Why? Because it comes to business, everyone is sophisticated. Everyone drives a car, when it comes to Torah, today, then you have to be a tomim. If anyone applies today, anyone tries to give the talk, as they talked 100 years ago, the tmimim, the lamdim, and things, today, it's stupidity. Because today, when it comes to worldly things, all of us are pretty, pretty equal. I have friends in yeshiva that are very, very below average. They didn't understand the Mishnah almost. And they became very good, shrewd business people. So there's no excuse. If the sefer would have been, if this would be explained, this all essence, the way it should be explained, garners, only this excited maskil when you show him Rabbah Medamu Lidas Bilitoid. Most people would stay outside without understanding. Because of the shortness of the Sefer Chalishus HaKorot, the weakness of the understanding, Yom HaRachman. That if we would have talked the way we should talk about Hashem, in the high level, most of the people wouldn't understood anything, and they would be totally shortened of the avoidance of Hashem. Kadovar Hashiyubah Memeni Inyan Gashmi, because anything which could be understood, Metil Lo Yazika Maskil, will be not be damaged. Shemake Boy knows, that helps to the fool in order this thing should settle in fact, and the Yeshua boy that he has a Kodesh Bakush, you chayev avodosa. It's required to say. The more you understand, makes you understand you have Hashem, And your understanding is requiring you to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגדי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגדי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגדי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@hl.com.